Kind of a full house this morning, huh? Amen. Good to see you all this morning. Happy New Year, everybody. How many of you came in and found somebody else sitting in your seat? Pierre going, hey. Oh, man, that's good. Well, absolutely, we are, we're looking forward to this morning, right? Good to have the kids here with us and Elevate in the front row, all good stuff. So, how's your Christmas? Yeah? Anybody have a good Christmas? Okay. Anybody have a so-so Christmas? Okay. All right. Well, you can see our message title this morning is What's in Store for 2024. That's, I'm going to give Jenny credit for the alliteration there. That's cute. But before we do that, just a few things we want to talk about. We're doing the one service today. And I don't know if we'll be able to do this like this next year with only one service. The way things are growing, might be a little tight, you know. So, along with that was, you know, after this week, the church resumes business as usual, if you will. And there's lots of exciting things coming up, and a few things we just wanted to talk about and give you our invitation to enjoy. Do you have that list? Because I don't have the list in front of me.
So we have our. Next Sunday, we have what we call a next step gathering. So if you have been coming to the church for like a year or under, or maybe even 2 years or under, and you have yet to get really connected with people, we have a gathering next Sunday evening. If you'd like to be part of that, we do have a meal. Anytime you come to Blue Mountain Community Church, almost every time we have an event, we have some kind of food. So if you would go to the Get Connected table and let them know you'd like to come next Sunday night to that, that's Sunday, January 7th. And if it does snow, it will be the following Sunday.
So today is the last day to sign up for that.
Yes. And if you are a leader or involved in a ministry, or you'd like to be involved in a ministry, on Friday, January 19th from 6 to 8:30, we're having a leadership and ministry appreciation dinner here at the church. And there's no cost or anything like that to come. We want you to come. We're going to have a meal. We're going to have a little bit of some encouragement from me and Cliff. We're going to talk about how it takes a village. Our title is It Takes a Village, because it truly does. It takes all of us working together. So we're going to celebrate the ministry, celebrate what God has done, cast some vision for the future, and we're really looking forward to that. So if you'd like to be part of that, again, you can sign up at the Get Connected table. And if you get Alicia's emails, you may have already gotten the sign-up form. Some of you already signed up, so thank you. And then on Saturday, January 27th, from 8 to 2, that's the morning till a little after lunch, we are having our membership class, which is where you can hear about our vision, our mission, our strategy, our structure, how our church started. Pastor, you'll hear Pastor X's testimony, you'll hear our testimonies, how we came to Christ, and just kind of how you guys landed here up in the woods, right? And what God is doing here. And then you don't have to become a member after taking that class. It's basically informational, and then also to get to know each other. And we always have a great time, and food. So breakfast and lunch are provided. So that's Saturday, January 27th from 8 to 2. If you're interested in that, again, check out our Get Connected table or contact us through our website. You know, let us know that you're interested in that. And for many other things going on and some really fun things coming up, check out the website and, stay connected that way, and you get Alicia's newsletter.
Yep,
okay?
Absolutely. So as we have our last Sunday service of the year, you know, how many of you are looking forward to 2024? Good. All right. You know, it's, of course, it's always appropriate when we reach the end of a year, a calendar year. You know, you look back. How many of you have been doing any like kind of reflection, looking back on the year, thinking about it, right? And you know, Jenny and I want to do that. We want to reflect on what God has done. And because when we look back and we see his goodness and we see his faithfulness and we see what he does, that gives us hope that what he's going to do in the future is going to be as good, if not even better, right? Because that's what he does. And so that's what we're doing today. We wanted to thank you as your pastors. We wanted to just thank you, all of you, for being the most incredible congregation that we could ever ask for or imagine. Or
you can give yourselves a clap.
Tim, go ahead. I know you like to give yourself a high five. There you go. He was practicing earlier. But thank you, really, for being the Acts 2 community of believers, for doing what you do, for being faithful to invite your friends, your family, your coworkers, the people you meet on the street, and, you know, bring them to church and helping them hear the good news and helping other folks come to know, love, and serve Jesus. And that's why the church continues to grow. Thank you for serving each and every one of you serving week in and week out and serving in all the ministries that happen on a Sunday morning and throughout the week, and just being diligent and tireless to be obedient to what the Lord has called you to do, so that God gets glorified and everybody else gets encouraged or edified, and you know the body, whole body works together. And so we're really just wanted to say thank you to all of you for being who you are and letting God do his good work in you. Yeah, thanks. That's from us.
It's awesome to see your faces up here. It's just such a blessing to have such a great congregation and new people, and every week there's new people coming in. And you know, and if you don't know each other, please just say, hey, I'm sorry I forgot your name, or can you remind me your name, please? Help me remember your name, Rick would always say. And get to know each other and get connected. But we just have such a great church. And I want to thank you personally, too, for your effort and energy that all of you put into last week's Christmas Eve service. It was a blessing. I mean, look how beautiful that is. It was just such a lovely sight. Yeah. It was our 12th special service there. We do Christmas and Easter there. It was our 12th special service there. Christmas Eve 2016 was our first Christmas Eve service. It was our first event there. God opened the doors, did miracles to get us into that building and to be able to use Penn's Peak, and we're so blessed. I have the pleasure of overseeing our special services ministries, and I'm just so thankful for our drama team and Kathy and Heidi, who put a lot of work into that, and our music ministry and everything they did. Our audiovisual team and Penn's Peak crew were there days. I mean, you were talking man hours, hundreds to thousands of man hours that go into a 1 hour service. You know, and I told my team, our arts team, after we got together for the final practice, I sent them an email just to encourage them, because it can feel like a letdown when we do the 1 hour service. You can kind of feel like, oh, it's over. It's kind of like Christmas. You guys get ready and you wrap all the presents pretty and put the bows on, and then in 10 seconds it's all torn apart and done. You're like, wait, one at a time. I want to see everybody's present. I put a lot of work into that, right? And it's kind of like that with the Christmas Eve service and the Easter service, where there's just all these ideas and thoughts, and it is totally not just one person. It's not just one ministry. Because if the parking lot greeters are not friendly, they aren't even going to come in and watch the play and watch the music, right? So thank you, parking lot greeters, who made everybody feel welcomed, including Cliff. He felt welcomed last week, right? You helped park you. Thank you for the greeters and the security team, and thanks for letting Cliff in the building. That was good, yeah. And the security team, the hospitality, the cookies, the everybody that was just walking around and greeting each other, all the arts ministries. It just takes a village. It takes everybody's hands. So no part is too small. So I just want to thank you. And the morning, Christmas Eve morning, I felt the Lord tell me, go back to your journal from 2016. And I went back to Christmas Eve 2016, and I read about what God had done after that first service. And that first service, we had 1,100 people. And after, you know, you got the growth, and then it kind of, with COVID, it kind of trickled off a little bit. So that morning I said, Lord, please let us have at least that many people. And we had 1,100 people. It was, yeah. So God, it was so good. It was right around that same number. So I feel the Lord is just allowing us to grow. It's such a blessing. So thank you to everybody. Thank you, Cliff, for giving the message, and Rick for praying. It was just a blessing. Yeah.
Long way from the cottage in Bowmanstown, Rick. Right?
Yeah.
How many did you have the first Sunday? How many adults in your first Sunday?
I think it was 17 adults, 11 kids.
The first. Next week is we're celebrating the anniversary of the church. It's 43 years.
43 years.
Next week, so you don't want to miss that. We're gonna.
Yeah.
You know, and not that we're not number chasers. It's not about that, but it is about being excellent and doing the best we can with what we've been given, and doing the best we can to reach as many people. And so, when you see 1,100 people coming to a service to hear the good news, and you know that's fantastic. And again, like Jenny said, that happens as a result of everybody working together. So thank you. It's really good, really good. So, all right. So we're gonna talk about what's in store for 2024. So let me ask you a question. How many of you this past year, you had a year full of blessing? Just blessing. Okay. How about anybody have a year of adversity? Just adversity. If you look back on the past year, what's your take on it? You know, is it like, oh, it was, you know, 2023 best year ever, or 2023, man, I'm glad that's in the mirror, right? I mean, I think there is something in our human tendency that we tend, humans without a Christ-centered worldview, that we tend to be pessimistic. We tend to see things as the glass half full or half empty, rather. That we always see the negative. You know, I mean, our entire news industry is built on that premise of giving you bad news. Look at your news feeds, watch the news, you know, look at your social media feeds outside of this past week, because everyone feels happy this past week, mm-hmm. right? And look at it. How much of that news is good news? How much of that stuff is designed to, do you go, oh, that's a feel-good story, right? No, it's just doom and gloom constantly all the time, you know, and all the news networks competing with one another to give you the latest doom and gloom, the latest bad news fast, right? And so, you know, there's a tendency in ourselves to go, oh, whew, man, I'm glad that year is over. And we look to the new year and go, ah, it's a chance for a fresh start. It's a chance for a reset, or, you know, new things, new year, new me, you know, all that stuff. And it's good to have goals. And Jenny and I have been reviewing, like, the goals that we set for ourselves as individuals, as a family, and as for the church, you know. And Jenny's got it in her journal, and I keep mine on a spreadsheet. And so, because I like to, hey, goal's done. I like to highlight it. Hey, you know. So I look back at that spreadsheet and go, yeah, I didn't hit 1,000 on those goals. But I didn't go over either. Mm-hmm. You know, so any goal that you set and you accomplish is progress. And so I want to give you, again, give yourself a pat on the back. Give yourself a round of applause. If you accomplished any goal, did you, anybody set one goal and accomplish it this year?
Good.
Just one goal.
Awesome.
Give yourself a round of applause then. You made progress. Good for you, right? You look back on the past year and go, man, it's an up and down, right, of a roller coaster of things. Jenny and I, you know, every now and then we'll just pull up Google Photos, because Google's great trademark, right? That, and you can look back and go, man, I forgot what we did just even a year ago or 6 months ago, and you see the pictures and you go, oh yeah, we did that, and you know, and again, as individuals, as a family, as a church, you think, man, we did a lot this past year, you know. So again, when I ask, you know, was it a year of blessing or adversity? Let me ask you: did anybody here celebrate a milestone this past year, like a major birthday or a graduation or anything like that? Any of you? Okay. Hey, give yourselves a round of applause. Good job. All right. Anybody go on vacation this year? Yay! Give yourselves a round of applause. Let's see. What else? Anybody get married this year?
Oh.
There's always that one guy in the crowd. And it's usually always Noah. No? Okay. Anybody have a baby this year? Yay! Give a round of applause, right? Anybody make a new friend this year? Yay! Right? Anybody lose a loved one or a friend this year? Sure. Our hearts go out to you, right? Absolutely. What else? Anybody get baptized this year? Hey, congratulations! Good for you.
Awesome.
Who started coming to church in the past year?
Awesome.
Good for you. Good for you. Absolutely. Anybody go to our Easter service back in, is that April? April? Who was at Easter in Penn Speak? Hey, congratulations. Woo! You're involved, right? Who was part of Vacation Bible School this past year? Hey, good for you, right? You know, all right, what are we doing here?
Good.
The point is, right, again, we can, you know, for those of you, you know, and I can be this way too, you look back and go, oh man, I'm looking for the next year, because we're, you know, out with the old, in with the new, and put that in the mirror. But if you look back on things, you see, man, there was a lot of really good things that happened. You know, there was a lot of really good things, a ton of good, great things that happened. If we just take a moment to recognize and say, you know, open our eyes and say, you know, God, what have you done? What have you done that's good? And so we want to encourage you this morning that, rather than look to the new year as a a start over or a reset. You know, this is really kind of is a continuation of our Christmas Eve message in that be asking the Lord with confident expectation. You know, like Rick said, not a pride in ourselves, but a pride in who our God is and a confident expectation that God is going to continue his good work, the good things that he's done, because our God does not start over. Not since the flood has he hit an entire reset on all of humanity. And he doesn't do that with our lives either. He doesn't just say, oh, okay, you know, boom, start from fresh, right? But what he does is he makes all things new. He builds on what is already established. And so we're encouraging you this morning to look forward to what God is going to build on in your lives and what he's going to transform. And yes, out of the ashes make something beautiful. Raise the dead in your life, right? But he makes all things new, and it's a continuation of what he does. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's read Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16, nice and loud. Can you all read that? Good? All right, let's read it nice and loud. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Let's just pause there and recognize that's at work today, right? I mean, everywhere you go, your attention is being pulled. You know, there's all kinds of people and things competing for your attention and for your thoughts. This person said that, and that person said that, and my teacher said this, and this preacher says that, and this politician says that, and this sports leader says that. Oh, what do I do? You know, and it's really easy to get tossed. And Jesus promised that the further we get from him on the earth and his ways, that there would be this more and more rejection and resistance to his ways, and this is what would happen, okay? So we know we're living in these times, right? But what? Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And if you've heard me preach at all before, you've probably heard me say this, that the number one directive of the church, why do we have church? Why do we do all this stuff? The number one directive, the primary directive, is to reach the lost, to help those who do not yet have a relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, for them to know him, right? That we want to introduce people to Jesus. That's why we do church. That's why we do this stuff all year round, and why we have a big service at Christmas Eve to help as many people as possible come to know Jesus. The second function, the secondary directive of the church, is to equip those who have a relationship with Jesus to become disciples so that they can contribute to the primary directive. And so we do that by growing up. And so I want everybody to say this nice and loud, right? You've heard me say this before. God wants me to grow up. Amen. In every area of my life. Let's say that, right? In every area of my life. And this is the challenge for us, because we go, oh, I got this part worked out. I'm good. God, thanks. And God says, yeah, but what about this over here? Oh, no. I don't want to do that. No, God wants you to grow up in every area of your life. That's what he says here, right? Speaking the truth, we are to grow up in all aspects into him. We're to be like Christ in every area of our life. And so God wants us to grow up. And so that's, you know, we set goals and we, you know, we ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do this year? How do you want me to grow this coming year? And then we write those things down, and then we break it down into steps, you know, because we don't just say, well, I want to become a more mature person. Anybody write that goal last year? I want to be more mature.
You know? More like Jesus, right?
Right. Let me ask the dads. Dads, how many of you have thought, I want to be a better dad? Sure, right? But what does that look like? I don't know. Blanket statement, I want to be a better dad. Well, how do you measure that, right? How do we know? And so, you know, you break these things down into basic steps and say, okay, well, I'm gonna read this book on fatherhood. I'm gonna join this small group, or I'm gonna be around other guys, and I'm gonna ask questions or whatever, right? And that's how you measure, are you being a better dad, or not, okay? Jenny asked our daughter this question just a week or so ago. You know, she said, how have you grown in 2023? What have you experienced that has helped to shape or transform the way that you think? And so we're asking you that question. How have you grown in 2023? Now, before we talk about what's in store for 2024, we have to kind of look back and what did we see in 2023? Oh, you like that, right? Yeah. So what have you experienced that has helped, you know, helped to shape and transform the way that you think?
Yeah, I think God always has eternity in mind. We think in the temporary. We think in the right now. And God sees the potential in us. You know, just like you see the potential in your child. I know I was thinking about how parents, we don't want our kids to grow up. We want them to stay little because we love that they're little. But in reality, we do want them to grow up and move out, right? Eventually, we'd like that. We need that craft room back again, right? But we want our kids to grow and mature and make good choices based on God's word. That truly, when you see your child serving God, or when you hear your child say something profound that is like, wow, they're teaching me. You know, I think that we as adults need our kids and our kids need us. You know, kids, we love watching the kids grow in the Lord. And as much as we like watching our kids, God loves watching us grow. He loves watching us change and, you know, hold our tongue when we're supposed to, or say no to a thought, or tell Satan he can't, you know, he can't get at you. But God wants us to grow up in every respect, but it's all for his kingdom growth, and it's all because he loves us. He loves you too much to leave you where you are, right? And to leave you where you were. He takes you as is, but he loves you too much to leave you there. So we always want to be growing. So in 2023, Cliff came up with kind of a list of the, basically the message highlights, several message highlights. So we're going to read through them real quick here.
So yeah, what I did is, I'm just kind of for shock and awe purposes, right? If you came to the church in the past year, then you heard at least one of these messages, and if you applied at least one of these points, then guess what? You have grown and matured further, and that's good for you. That's progress. But, you know, these are just kind of the main points of, these are just the messages that I preached this past year. That doesn't count the ones that Rick or Wes or anybody else brought, or anything you heard, you know, throughout the week, or at your small groups, or a podcast you listen to, or any of that stuff. This is just if you just came to Sunday mornings. This is what you'd hear, right? So we let go of immaturity. We hang on to maturity. We understand that religion boasts in what man has done, but relationship boasts in what God has done. Jesus came the first time to demonstrate his love. When he comes again the second time, he will demonstrate his judgment. When we live for Jesus, our joy and influence increases, even if our status and our position decreases.
A transformed life is the proof that God is real. Jesus goes out of his way to be in your way. The search for value within ourselves is a broken, toxic well. To worship in spirit and in truth is to adore the whole of God with the whole of your heart.
We can make the choice to lay down our sin because Jesus chose to carry it for us. Jesus is exactly the friend you need in exactly your right moment. Fulfillment comes from being obedient, not comfortable. We need to give God permission to work in our lives as he sees fit, not as we do.
Jesus has a way of systematically removing the things in our lives that we lean on that aren't him. Religion will continually try to pull us into a judgmental way of thinking, which results in a state of worse than the first. Fathers forge the path that their families follow.
God is calling you to wield the shield that leads and protects America. How many remember the wield the shield message? Gotta love Cap.
You do. Yeah.
I do, yeah. To live without fear is to live in the fear of the Lord. The first resurrection is from sin. The second resurrection is from death. Four witnesses testify to the authenticity of your faith: other people, your works, the Father's voice, and the Word itself.
The religious attitude does not have the love of God in its heart. You can choose to live in the shadows of life or live in the warmth of the sun. Great faith is the result of great testing. God has not brought you to a desolate place to leave you there. Jesus puts you in the deep end of the pool so you will let go of your fear.
Oh, you just said this one.
yeah, God has not brought you to a desolate place.
The life that satisfies lives with an eternal view in mind. To eat the flesh of Jesus is to abide in his word and his ways, and to drink his blood is to be forgiven and to offer forgiveness to others. God uses even the forces of darkness to accomplish his purposes.
God wants you to know his will for your life and to live in peace as it unfolds in his timing. If you want to be successful in life, get an education in God's ways. Jesus will challenge our attitude, authenticity, and awareness to bring us into a deeper relationship with him.
God works to bring you from a not yet to a now is. Amen. The evidence is overwhelming that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Lord of all. Jesus is the same friend of sinners to others that he is to you. And we can do nothing to earn his righteousness, but we do have to choose to stay in it.
The light of Jesus grows brighter and brighter the more we allow the stuff of life to pass through him. When God does the unexpected in your life, it is because he loves you and gives you what you didn't even know you needed.
Amen.
Amen.
Again, if you applied even one of those truths or one of those principles to your life, then you've changed, you've grown, you've matured. Great for you. Give yourself a round of applause. Good for you. You're growing.
We're clapping a lot today. I like it.
Absolutely. You know, 2023, actually not that bad, right? Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And not because, but again, you're applying God's word to your life, and you're saying, okay, Lord, you know, work this in me and help me to live differently as a result of it. So maturity is a process, right? We don't come to it overnight. We come to it step by step and moment by moment, and as a result of experience after experience. You know, I was talking with a couple not that long ago, and they said something to the essence. They said something along the lines of, you know, this situation we're in, God's going to have to do a miracle. And I said, you are the miracle. Do you understand? I said, I know your story. I know where you came from. You shouldn't even be here right now. But here you are, you know, you're encountering stuff and you're saying, okay, God, what are you going to do? How are you going to work in my life? And how are you going to turn this for good? And I said, that's progress. And God's going to do something great because you're expecting him to, and because you're submitting to him and you're being humble before him. And so every person in this room, you're a miracle. You shouldn't be here. But you're a miracle because God loves you and he cares for you and he's working in your life and he's working his will and he's working his purposes in your life.
Yep.
And the God who did all that is not going to give up on you now. He's going to carry you into the future.
Yeah, you are a miracle. It's a miracle that you're even sitting here when you think about it. Miracle after miracle after miracle. I mean, you woke up this morning, right? Praise God. You're breathing. The breath of life is in you. You know, and God is doing a miracle in your life. And the enemy does everything in his power to keep you from sitting in these seats, right? He'll do anything he can. I don't need to go to church today. Oh, nobody's going to miss me. Nobody's going to notice. Oh, they don't really need me. Oh, it's just one service. Oh, it's a holiday. I'm good. There's always an excuse. There's always a reason. You know, that's why I call my Facebook podcast, I guess you call them, Get Up with Jen, because it's all about just get up. Get up and go and do what God's called you to do that day, you know. And I don't know if you know this, but Carla Hill prays over these chairs every Sunday morning. Every Sunday while we're having music ministry, she goes around the balconies and she prays over every seat so that you get a double blessing when you come and you sit in these seats. But, you know, how have you grown in wisdom in 2023? What's changed in your life? What things happened in your life that have caused you to grow? And how is God teaching you and developing your heart toward him? And I believe that you grow where you sow. Wherever you're sowing, that's where you're going to be growing. So if you want to grow in wisdom and knowledge of the Bible, you got to sow in that area. You have to be reading the Bible. If you want to be more excellent in your prayer life, you got to pray. If you want God, other people to be generous to you, you've got to be generous to others. If you want friendship, you got to give friendship, right? And if you want grace, you got to give grace. It's all about giving what you want. You got to give it away first, right? So we're going to talk more about that in the future, I think, about generosity, because the word keeps coming up. You reap what you sow. So my question to you is, are you growing, and is it showing? Do other people see the growth in you? Or are you regressing and going back to the old ways? Because if you just stay where you are and not do anything, you're actually going to regress, right? And we're going to talk about that a little bit next week. So two of the messages that I brought this year, you might remember the Seek one where I lost $100. You remember that?
Did
not find it. In case you were praying for me, I didn't find it. But God brought it back and worked it out. So I not only lost it, I likely tossed it. So, but seeking God
with
all our hearts.
You are on fire today with the rhyming.
No more rhyming. Now I mean it. Anyone want a peanut? Okay. If you don't know that movie, we cannot be friends, okay? I'm just saying. But seeking God with all our hearts is what he asks us to do. He wants us to seek him first and his kingdom and his righteousness. Then everything else will be added unto us. And when I was searching my house and every bag I owned, under everything, under the fridge, everywhere, in the refrigerator, I was looking for that $100 so hard. And I felt God say, do you seek me as hard as you're looking for this $100? Are we seeking the Lord as hard as we would look for something that we lost? Right? Seek him. And then the next one was, I called Roll the Reel, which came about after watching one of our services back in April. And I just saw how our church had grown and what God was doing. And I thought, if you had told me 25 years ago that church was going to look like this, I would have never believed you. Like, it was just awesome to see that. So we called that Roll the Reel, where you never know what God's doing now in your life. You might not see progress immediate, but that slow progress that happens over time, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, you're going to look back and go, wow, I'm different. God's changed me. So I call that Roll the Reel. So as your kids are growing up and they're struggling, just think in your mind, you know, roll the reel. 20 years from now, God says, train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. It doesn't say when they're 13. It doesn't say when they're 17. It says when they're old. They won't depart from it, right? So roll the reel. We don't usually see significant or magnificent change overnight. We see it over time. It takes time. Not where I want to be, but I'm not where I was before. So what is in store for 2024? We don't know. We don't know. That's it. No, it's okay. Just kidding. We don't know what God's going to do, but I truly believe this based on what I've seen him do and what we as a church management team have seen God do. I truly believe that God is expanding our borders. I don't think we're going to have only one service next year on this weekend. I have a feeling we're going to be too big. But it's not about the numbers, but it is about the influence. We are seeing not just our weekly attendance at church, but our weekly attendance in our online influence. People are watching us. We hear people all the time. You've probably heard it. Oh, yeah, we watch that church. We watch you guys every week on live stream. It's like, really? I have family outside of the state, people outside the state that watch us every week on live stream. That's really cool, right? So, hi, if you're not from Pennsylvania, welcome. Glad you're here. But we see that the church around the globe is under attack more than ever before, and it's causing a hunger and a thirst for righteousness in people's hearts. They don't realize yet that it's Jesus that they need. But that's why we are committed as a church to proclaim and teach the uncompromised word of God. The same calling that God put on Pastor Rick, he has put on me and Cliff. We will not compromise God's word. We will reach the lost. We will preach the truth. And we will preach Jesus. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Our local mission work is increasing. God is expanding our borders. He's offering us opportunities that we're going to be sharing in the coming weeks, that we're just seeing God at work. God is changing lives. We're seeing marriages get healed. We're seeing lives change, right? He's expanding and increasing our borders and expanding his kingdom. And we just see growth happening. I believe 2024 is going to be a year of growth. We are thankful we have a congregation. You guys give. Do you ever notice we don't pass buckets anymore? We don't even talk about tithe and offering a whole lot. We have to teach it, but we don't bring it up all the time. You guys, you're letting the Holy Spirit lead you to give. And we just want to say thank you. Because what it's actually allowing is, it's actually allowing people that come that are new to not feel like they have to give. To not feel on the spot when that bucket goes past and they don't have any money to put in there. We don't want that. This is our gift to you, and your giving's between you and God. But if you're giving, we just want to thank you. Cliff and I don't even know, but we want to just thank you for that. God's working to expand his kingdom. I shared with Pastor Rick a couple weeks ago that I can recall being here at church in the middle of the sanctuary here. I was maybe 13 years old. We had just built this building. So that was in 1990, I think, was our first year in this building. We were standing in a circle in the church. I don't know, Glenn and Lori, you might have even been here. There was a big group of a prayer team here. Kathy and Steve, you might have been here too. And we faced north, south, east, and west. And we prayed and said, Lord, bring in the lost from the north. Bring them in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your word go forth to the north. Let your word go forth to the south. Let it go forth to the west. Bring them in, Jesus. Bring them from all over the place. And God is doing that and has done that. I mean, that was such a powerful moment as a 13-year-old to be praying and asking God to bring people. And, you know, it's funny because we get visitors all the time. Oh, I'm from Easton. I'm from Sailorsburg. You know, I come pretty far. And I always say, it's worth the drive. This is worth the drive. If you love it here, it's worth the drive. So, you know, and I believe that over these 43 years as a church, in that time, we have touched thousands of people have come in and out of these doors. And we don't know. We won't know till we're in heaven. And I think all eternity, we're just going to be sharing stories of what God did. You know, it's worth the drive. All right. So Cliff and I, you know, we went through a lot this year together as a couple, as a family. We went through a lot as ministry partners because, believe it or not, you know, we work together. So we have to discuss things as ministry partners too, and as husband and wife. And, you know, we have a daughter, and we have this great church that God has, you know, blessed us with the ability to, you know, to serve. And we love to serve you guys. And we went through a lot together. But God has shown himself faithful to us. And I love how Pastor Rick always says, of course he has, because that's who he is. That's what he does, right? So I go back to, I think, my takeaway from 2023 that I'm going to carry into 2024 and hopefully my whole life. Is the morning that Cliff had his heart attack in May the 4th, right? Star Wars Day. He would pick an epic day to have a heart attack. I woke up that morning. As I sat up, I felt the Lord say to me, go with my flow. And I thought he was just giving me a message title. Just said, go with my flow. And, you know, I can't describe it. I know Nancy talks a lot about when she went through cancer and how she just felt the peace of God and the God of peace with her and this undescribable, unexplainable peace. I felt that through the whole day. And it was just crazy. But that takeaway is go with God's flow. Listen to his voice. Watch for what he's doing. And obey his voice to you. Obey his direction to you. Because we just don't know what a day holds. You know, Proverbs 27 says, you never know what tomorrow holds, so don't boast about it. So just enjoy the day. This is a day the Lord's made, right? Rejoice and be glad in it. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as he directs your heart, be obedient, even if you don't understand it. Go with my flow. Let God lead you, right?
Yeah, Jeremiah 29 up here.
Oh, yeah, Jeremiah 29, 11. Let's read this together. This is 11 through 13. Read it with me, please. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart.
Yep, absolutely. So,
I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future, right?
Yep, absolutely. You know, in Job chapter 1, if you've never read the story of Job, you know, it's a tough read. I think a lot of us don't like to read Job because Job's all about suffering. Now, give me the good stuff, Lord. Give me the blessing. You know, give me the year of blessing, Lord. I don't want to talk about the year of adversity. But Job, you know, to sum up Job real quickly is that he had a really, really bad run of days where he lost everything that was near and dear to him. Everything. Lost all his possessions, lost all his wealth, lost his stature, lost his social standing.
Children.
Lost all 10 of his kids and their spouses. Was left with a nagging wife. You know, which you know, I know Job's wife kind of gets the. I mean, it's true. I mean, that's a whole message in and of itself. Not the nagging wife part, but understand.
Happy New Year, everyone.
See, You know, I don't give the devil more credit than his due, right? I don't fear his ways. He's a master manipulator, okay?
Yeah.
And he knows how to set the dominoes so that they would fall, you know? And really, if you read Job 1, you know, watch how he absolutely set things up in such a way that his intention was that Job would turn on God, that they would, that the things that happened could not be explained in any other way except that God had it out for Job, right? It wasn't just coincidence. It wasn't like, oh, like it was one thing after another, just that Job, that he wanted Job to say, God, what are you? And that he left him his wife, his partner, his equal, you know, his bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We're supposed to be one here, and his best friend turns on him in her own grief because she lost 10 of her kids, her 10 kids. And Job says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if that, because that didn't, wasn't enough, Satan says, okay, God, well, you know, you took everything from him, but you haven't touched him. If you affect him directly, he'll curse you. And God says, okay, do what you want, but you can't take his life. And so Job is afflicted with an incredibly painful, excruciating disease. And so he sits, and he says to his wife, says to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? Job says, blessings and adversities are gifts from God. It's up to us how we respond to it. How many of you parents gave your kids something fun? How many of you gave your kids something they needed? What's the reaction from the kids?
Oh.
Right? Socks. Hey. Okay, whatever. You know, whatever it is that you give them that they need, well, where's the fun stuff? Where's the blessing? But our God is the best parent there is. And so he knows not only what you want, the desires of your heart, and he wants to give you those things, but he also gives you what you really need. When Job says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, he is making this statement. Matthew Henry says this in his commentary. I thought this was beautiful the way he put it. I couldn't write it any other way, so I'm just quoting him directly, right? Job is saying, I didn't lose those things, but they have been returned to their rightful owner. Job says, all of our stuff, all that we have, all our stuff, material things, resources, all the people that are in our lives, they don't belong to us. They belong to God. Now, he gives them to us to accomplish his purposes. They belong to him. And to be able to hold all of life like that, you know, and if I have a theme this year, it's this.
Mm-hmm.
We hold life, we hold each other with an open hand. And the Lord directs and the Lord ordains, and he does it according to his will. And that's why I don't get bent out of shape. We're worked up over things with this. Okay, well, that we had it, now we don't. Now we do. Praise God. People. Hey, we enjoy each other's company for as long as we can, recognizing that we don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what this afternoon brings. And that person could be gone in an instant. And so I live with an awareness and an intentionality that says, if this is the last time I have a conversation with this person, then it's going to go out on good terms. It's going to be good, you know, and not no regrets and nothing left. And, oh, man, I would. Nope. You know, nothing unresolved. You know, the question can be asked, what did Job do to deserve all this? Nothing. And everything, because he's a human being. Life is full of blessing and adversity. And Job, the whole point of Job drives to this point that he's a human being who is in need of God's grace every single day, just like you and me. Just like you and me. You know, Jenny and I talked, about, we've experienced some adversity this year, financial adversity. Anybody else suffer some financial adversity this past year? It's a little tough, okay? Emphasis on the little sarcastic, right? Times are tough. We relational adversities, physical. Oh, man, glad to put that year in the mirror. But praise God, we're still standing. We're still here, God has supplied. And again, I'm not saying, because what he did for us, he's doing for you too. And so when you trust him and when you seek his face, you say, okay, we're met with a financial hardship here, Lord. What are we going to do? What's the challenge? The challenge and the temptation is to say, well, God, I'm not going to do things. Jen and I, we'll pass on it. When things get tough, we say, okay, Lord, where can we be a blessing to somebody else? Oh, no, devil, you're not going to get us to withhold. I'll show you. We'll be a blessing. Because that's what God's word says to do, and to trust him. And he pours it in, and he has provided for us, and he's provided for the church the best financial state the church has ever been in the midst of hardest times, one of the hardest times in our economy as a country, So, I mean, God, he shows up. That's what he does. Relationships, sure, absolutely. Were some relationships changed or altered? Yeah, but God has has he replaced those things, but he's caused other ones to flourish. Even my physical health, yeah, absolutely. Near heart attack, and again, I'm not blaming anybody but myself for that, okay? That was something I brought on myself by 20 years of bad living. That's a wake-up call that gives me a resolve and has lit a fire that I'm going to live differently. That's what a New Year's resolution is, right? It's something that goes in one year and comes out the other. Sorry. Last dad joke of the year. I had to get it in. But, the result of something that could have been really, really difficult is that I'm in better shape than I ever have been, right? And so challenge yourself. Say, okay, Lord, God, what happened this year, last year? What did I experience? And what are you doing as a result of it? How can I lean on your ways? How can I lean into your ways rather than back away from them so that you can do what you do best? The result of all that is that we experience the peace that surpasses understanding. We see that God keeps us on an even keel, and that even though there's good times, you climb the mountain, and there's valleys, but we don't stay in those valleys long. He walks us through it, and we come out the other side, and so that's what God is going to do in your life. Isaiah 25, verse 1 says, let's read this nice and loud together. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. The good work that God has begun in each and every one of you, he is going to continue until the day that you see him face to face. So, what's in store for 2024? Expect the unexpected. Expect God to give you not only what you want, but what he knows that you actually need. Expect God to continue the good work that he has begun in you, which he will be faithful to perfect or mature in you, right? God wants you to grow up until the day of Christ Jesus. Expect him to build his church. Expect today's generation to continue to come to know him, love him, and serve him. Expect this church to be a community of believers as described in Acts 2. And expect yourself to be a part of it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Why don't you sing and then we'll pray. We're going to do this old school. I don't think we have no words. Just worship.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you
Would you all just pray this prayer with me? Repeat this after me if you would. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your goodness to me because you love me. You gave yourself for me so that I could live with you. Have your way, Lord, in my life, in every area of my life, that I may grow to be like you. Thank you for your presence in the blessing, in the adversity, knowing, Lord, it all belongs to you. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. And I look forward to what you're going to do next. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.